Good morning. We are awake. I know there are some that are out sick this morning. Keep in prayer for those who are not feeling well this morning. We're taking our hymn books and turning to 202. And let's stand together as we sing, Good Christian Men Rejoice. 202. Let's go ahead and stand. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and song and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Up the death before you bow. He is in the manger now. Christ was born today. Christ was born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian man, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye may not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting call. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
You to stay standing as we begin our service in a word of prayer, but I want to draw your attention. You may have closed your hymn book, and that's fine. Sometimes we sing these Christmas songs. We know the tune. We may know the words. We may just sort of like the melody, and we don't really pay attention to it, but did you see the words in that third stanza? Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting haul. Christ was born to save. We'll be looking at that theme this morning in our service. How many people love the Christmas season, have the nativity, the babe, sing the songs not even knowing half the time what they sing. The truths in the great hymns of the Christian season, Jesus Christ, the Savior, has come to save us from our sins. I trust if you're here today or you're watching from home and you may be familiar with Christ, the songs, you love the Spirit, all of that, but you know you still can be lost in your sins and never receive Christ as your Savior. I pray today would be the day you would take him as your Savior, the very reason he came. Well, let's pray as we begin our service. Thank you again for being here. It is good to have several visitors. Good to have Mark Hampton, his son Chris with us down from Williamsport. Good to have Brittany here. Some of you prayed for Brittany several weeks ago. She was in the hospital battling some things. You know Caleb and Abby, but a friend of hers, Josh, with us this morning. Good to have Josh. See if I miss anyone else may have slipped in. So good again to have Gary Sr. and Linda back with us. They've been coming several weeks now. It's a blessing to have you folks. And there may be some others, but we're glad to have you today. Come to worship the Lord. Let's begin our service in prayer, and after that, you may have a seat, and you'll hear a number from the choir that will be, I believe, a song that will be sung in the cantata next Sunday night. All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we know of many, Lord, even as we look at the choir, Lord, quite a few, probably 6, 7, 8, maybe even 10, who are regularly in the choir, not here today, Lord. Under the weather, sick, battling some sickness, some virus, Lord, our pianists as well, several. I pray, Lord, for rest. We pray for strength. We pray for a good recovery, if it be your will, so that we could have our cantata next Sunday night. I thank you for those who are filling in this morning, Lord, and the music ministry. Lord, I thank you for those that are here today. I thank you for the opportunity for when you're sick or you're not feeling well or because of snow or traveling, Lord, they can watch from home and participate in the service. That's certainly a blessing. I pray, Lord, that all that's done today would be done for your honor and glory. Lord, may we not be so familiar with the Christmas season, the babe in the manger, and have all these decorations up and love the spirit of Christmas and think of gifts and we hum, Lord, familiar songs. But Lord, that we can miss the very purpose of why the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, came in the flesh, born as a baby, born to die upon the cross, resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and coming again, Lord, because of our sin problem. Lord, I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the story of redemption throughout the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, today as we look at that in the service, Lord, you would draw every heart and mind to the fact of what Jesus Christ did for them. Lord, if there be any in our midst, anyone watching from home that has never received the free gift of salvation that's offered, I pray today would be the day they would receive that gift and receive eternal life. Lord, we ask your blessing on the service for our Sunday school classes, those in the nursery, Lord, those that will be teaching later our children. Lord, that the Word of God would be taught clearly and plainly. You would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. At this time, we're going to take our hymn books once again, and we're going to turn to 196, the familiar Christmas carol, Angels We Have Heard on High, and let's stand once again together, 196, and we'll sing as the choir comes down and joins you there, 196. Ladies, now.
I think at this time we'll invite our men to come receive this morning's offering. It's hard to believe our 2022 year is winding down. Counting today, we have 3 Sundays remaining. I appreciate so much your faithfulness in giving. We had a deacons meeting this past week. We took a look at the budget as we're planning for 2023, and I praise the name. Giving has been good. It's been strong. Thank you for your faithfulness in that. May you continue to give liberally and cheerfully to the Lord. We're glad to be able to use what comes in for His honor and His glory in this church and abroad. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for those that are here with us today. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, what a privilege to be able to give to you, Lord, realizing and understanding that you are the giver of all things. You're the giver of all gifts. You so loved the world that you gave, and that, Lord, we can give back to you a small portion of our income and the money that comes our ways to further your kingdom, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Eliel. And we'll take our songbooks now, and we're going to turn to 205. We can remain seated. We're going to sing Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, just two verses here of hymn number 205. Infant Holy, Infant Holy, for his battle cattle stall. Good singing, good to sing Christmas songs. Boy, it's a wonderful time of the year, remembering always what Christmas is truly about. There was a time some years ago where I was seeing about singing for some certain event, and I thought, boy, what song would be best to give the gospel from? And you know, there's a song in our hymn books called Ring the Bells. And listen carefully to these words. It says, "Ring the bells, let the whole world know, Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that man might live, came to earth, new life to give. Born of Mary, born so low, many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to this wicked, sinful earth, to bring mankind his love, new birth. Ring the bells, what a glorious morn. Men and angels worship him, singing Christ is born. Born to die on Calvary, born to set his people free. God himself in human form, tell it, Christ is born. He has left his royal throne, he has come to claim his own. Christ the Lord has come to earth, go spread the news of Jesus' birth." What a song that tells us what Christmas is really all about. Ring the bells, let the whole world know, Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that man might live, came to earth new life to give. Born of Mary, born so low, many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to this wicked, sinful earth, to bring mankind his love, new birth. Ring the bells, let the whole world know, Christ the Savior lives today, as he did so long ago. Ring the bells, what a glorious morn. Men and angels worship him, singing Christ is born. Born to die on Calvary, born to set his people free. God himself in human form, tell it Christ is born. He has left his royal throne, he has come to claim his own. Christ the Lord has come to earth, will spread the news of Jesus' birth. Ring the bells, let the whole world know,
Christ the Savior lives today, as He did so long ago.
Those of you that are here in the service, I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, as our children and workers are heading on out to Children's Church. Pray for our workers. They're going to be teaching the Word of God, maybe doing a craft, maybe a song or two, maybe a game, but the primary purpose of our children's ministries are to teach and open the Word of God. Thankful for them. You're turning your Bibles, Matthew chapter 1. We have a pew Bible again, should be in every pew if you came and need a Bible. That's easy to find, Matthew chapter 1, page 1341. 1,341 if you're using a pew Bible, 1,341. Everyone else, it's the very first book in what is called the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, here this morning. Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and then we're going to jump right to verse 16. So we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 16 through the end of the chapter. Ready? Matthew chapter 1, I would encourage you to follow along with me. The Bible reads verse 1, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Verse 16, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, or we would maybe say engaged to Joseph, before they came together physically as husband and wife, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, righteous man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, privately or secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not," that's physically, "till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Three times there, toward the end of that passage, you see the phrase or the word name. Verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 23, "They shall call his name Emmanuel." Verse 25, "And he called his name Jesus." I'm going to be preaching on a little longer title this morning, if you're taking notes or for those that put it on the computer. It's called The Greatest Story Ever Told and The Greatest Name Ever Spoken. The Greatest Story Ever Told and The Greatest Name Ever Spoken, and that's the name Jesus. Now, what we read here in Matthew chapter 1, 4,000 years have passed. 4,000 years since God prophesied in the Garden of Eden, speaking to Adam and Eve after they had sinned, speaking to Satan in the garden. 4,000 years have passed since Genesis chapter 3, since God said that a Redeemer would come, that there would be one born of the seed of a woman, that there would be one who would crush Satan and defeat him, that there would be one who would conquer sin, death, and the grave, that there would be one who would taste death for every man and provide a way to God, one who would come and provide forgiveness of sins and offer eternal life. It has been 4,000 years until what we begin to read here in Matthew chapter 1. Of course, his name
says here his name would be Jesus. Many names for Jesus throughout the Scriptures. I'll not mention them all. Each one gives us a little more insight into who he is. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Emmanuel. Son of man. Son of David. Son of God. The living Word. The great I Am. The Messiah. The Almighty God. God himself. Just how important is a name? Names are important. I'll throw some out here at you. We'll get different reactions. If I say Starbucks or maybe Dunkin', you might have an opinion. One name you might hold in high esteem, or you might say both. If I said, boy, Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or Wendy. You know, we have a name. Names are important. We can get into little groups and dissensions over favorite candy bars and restaurants and which soda's better, Pepsi, Coke, or something else. Or we could get into fancy names. I could give you some car automobile names, right? And we get our divisions very quickly in here. Our Ford and our Chevy and our Dodge and our Toyota and Honda and our AMC and our Yugos and whoever. Names matter, don't they? Some of you don't say, oh, the Yugo, I remember that thing. Of course, my dad was in the automobile business for 45 years, so seen and driven a little bit of everything. I can remember the Yugos, the AMCs. You'll see some vintage things around. A name matters. Names matter, don't they? Clothes, a name. Now, I understand there's brand names, and we could get into that, and I understand certain companies make many brands. But we do understand at the core of it, though, a name that's been around a long time, that's known for quality and honesty and reputation, we tend to go from those. They've been proven. They've been true. You can trust the quality of that, whether it be food or clothing or shoes or vehicles. And my world, of course, I've sold tools for years, and so my world's a little different. I'm not going to get into makeup names and brands or better hair things. My wife can give you all those. That's a world of which I know not, all right? You would think I would with three daughters and a wife, but they stay in their world, I stay in mine, all right? But if I said, hey, let's get some good axe names, all right? Some of you would be like, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about going to some hardware store and buying an axe. Oh, my goodness, no, all right? I'm talking about a Plum, a Kelly, a Warren, a Mann. I'm talking about a Collins. I'm talking about some good old axe names. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Because those are quality things. Those are ones, I sold lots of those. I could say a Hultsbrook or a Gransfords. And some of you say, what are you talking about? What language? I'm talking about Swedish ones that are $100, $200, $250. All right, high end. Why? Quality, lifetime. You say, well, the name matters. Let me tell you, I've sold probably 300 anvils. All right, sold lots of blacksmith equipment. If you came to me and said, hey, Pastor Moore, I think I got this old anvil out in the shed. Would you come take a look at it? And people have done that all the time. I had a guy do it about a month ago. And I don't mind. I say, okay, well let's go. What's it worth? People say, what's it worth? I say, well, we have to see if there's a name on it. That's going to be the key. Well, it doesn't matter if it weighs 150 pounds. 150, oh, well, weight matters. Condition matters. But the name is the key. Let's see if we can find a name on the side. Let's go. Hey, let's see. Oh, what's that say there? Oh, that's a hay button. That's the best. That's one of the best you can buy. Ooh, your price just went up. All right. That's a Peter Wright from England. That's a really good one. All right. Hey, that's a soda for Swedish one. And then there's others that aren't as good. The name matters. Quality, all right? I think we understand that. What's in a name? How about your family name? Some of you, you've said that for years. Hey, you're a Boyer. You get the Boyers proud, all right? You're a Goebel. You fill in the blank, all right? Some of us will use those kind of things. Hey, a name is important. The most important name is Jesus. The most important name of all time, the greatest name ever spoken. You see it there in verse 21. She, Mary, the virgin, shall bring forth a son. That was prophesied in Isaiah. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, capital J-E-S-U-S. For he shall save his people from their sins. Although you would be surprised how many Christians, if you asked them, what does the name Jesus mean? How many people in churches and Christian schools do not know the most important name, the greatest name ever spoken, what it means? The name Jesus is the same as the Old Testament name Joshua. Jeshua. It means Jehovah is salvation. The name Jesus means Savior. That's why it says he will save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, the greatest name ever spoken. And you know what that verse means, verse 21 there? It says he shall save his people from their sins. That implies and lets us know that every person needs a Savior, that we're sinners. If he's going to save his people from their sins, that means we have sins to be saved from. That means we are sinners in need of a Savior. And if that was God's chosen method, that means there is no other way. There is no other way to be saved from your sins, or God would have provided it. So he sent himself, Jesus, to save, to rescue, to deliver all sinners, which is all, for all have sinned, from their sins. Now the question then is, well, how many people need saved? Well, the Bible answers that, doesn't it? John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, Jesus, might be saved. So that means the entire world needs to be saved. Every single person who is a sinner, and that's everybody, needs to be saved. And so the solution was a Savior, whose name is Jesus, who would come and provide the means for being saved from their sins. Some of you may remember, almost hard to believe, 2 years ago, January 2021, our very first verse of the month. Some of you hopefully can still quote it, 1 Timothy 2:3-5, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. For all. The entire world needed to be saved and needs to be saved, and Jesus Christ came that they might be saved. Now we're going to take a little journey, so I want you to turn to your right to John chapter 1. You're in Matthew. You're just going to flip three books to your right. You're going to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're going to come to John chapter 1. We're going to just be in two passages this morning. We're going to be in John, and we're going to look at one passage in Acts, and that will be it today, all right? John chapter 1. What's in a name? How important is the name Jesus as we look at the greatest story ever told, the greatest name ever spoken, the name Jesus? John chapter 1, John chapter 1, are you there? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, thus far, who is that person? It doesn't tell us. We just know it's the Word. He's God. He's the same as God. All things were created by Him. The answer is in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That's where we get the word incarnation. Carn means flesh. Are you a carnivore? All right. Do you eat meat? Flesh? Carn. Incarnation means God in the flesh. God, who's a spirit, came to earth in the flesh, the incarnation. Here in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh, therefore that is Jesus Christ, God Himself, the Son of God, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, those here writing this at the time, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. The Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, the Creator. Go back, if you would, to verse number 10, John 1:10, speaking of Jesus. He, Jesus, God, was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world, people, knew Him not. He came unto His own, Christ came, and His own received Him not. Now here's the verse we want to really look at, verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Pay attention to the last phrase. Even to them that believe on His name. Wow, what a verse. Let's look at that again. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them, those who received him. By the way, that word receive means to accept. It's the object of picture of a gift. Have a gift for you. Here you go. I have a gift. It's your name. I'm offering it to you. You must receive it. You must accept it. It's a free will. It's a choice of yours. It's obvious, verse 11 says, not everybody received him. We know that today not everybody will receive him. But it's free will conditional, verse 12, as many, that's really the same as whosoever, will receive, will accept, will take that gift of eternal life salvation to them, who's them? To them who received it. To them gave he power. Now that's an interesting word. Many times in the New Testament the word power is dunamis. We get the word dynamite today. Dynamite, boy, that thing, oh, it's dynamite. That's got a lot of power. Be careful with that. That's dynamite. That's a very power. Don't you know what that can do? A lot of times you see power, it's dunamis. This is not the word dunamis. This is a little different word here. This has the idea of authority and delegated power. Has the idea of being given this. Doesn't mean you become a god. The idea is here, when you receive Christ, you receive the free gift of salvation through what the Bible says. He gives you the power, the authority. He's the one that's the power and the authority. He gives it so that you will become a child of God. And nobody can take that away. It's been given to you by the only one that has the power. He gives it to you, and it says, and you become a son of God, but notice, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I'm going to continue on this because you can read this. Oh, that's easy. I believe in Jesus. Is that good enough? I believe in him. I believe on his name. No, we're going to look at that, compare scripture to scripture. That's interesting wording there. Believe on his name. That is not talking about a head knowledge. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the manger. I believe in the baby. I believe in the cross. I believe he died. Absolutely. I believe he's a real historical person. He was God, the Son of God. I believe in the songs we just sang. I believe in him. I pray to him every day. No, that's not the same thing. We're not talking about a head knowledge or intellectual knowledge. The word believe here is the idea. Notice it says believe. You're usually going to see in the Bible believe followed by a word. Believe on. Believe in. Believe through. All centered on the person of Jesus Christ. It's the idea of us putting, I know it's a famous, it never was my favorite illustration when you try to show faith. You know, and then they said, look at this chair right here, right? You know, that's usually the one everybody uses. Look at this chair now. No, I don't really think that shows true faith. Now, this chair right here was a chair I sat in this morning. I sat in here. I stood up when we sang. I came up and gave an announcement. I have sat in this chair. Now, I have full confidence and faith in that chair. This will keep my full weight. I can jump up and down. I have no doubt about it. I have full faith. I sit on this completely confidently. I put my entire weight on this chair. I'm not holding back. I'm not nervous thinking, well, I'll put some of my weight on it. I'll put part of my weight on it. I'm putting everything on that chair. Why? Because I completely trust it and believe in it because it's proven itself true. The word believe here is I believe on the name. That means you are putting all of your faith, all of your weight, all of your dependence completely on Jesus Christ. Not most of it, and my foot's still touching the ground, and I've got Mary there. And I've got my prayers, I say. And I've got most of my weight up here, but I'm still a little bit attached to I go to church. I read my Bible. I do all these. I've been baptized. That's not your full weight. That's not complete dependence. That is not full belief on his name. But the Bible says that when we put our full weight and full dependence on his name, he gives us the power to become the sons of God. So what's in a name? A lot is in a name. The name Jesus. Now, it's probably on the same page. Look backwards. In my Bible, it's on the same page, but it's the last chapter of Luke 24. It may be right there. You may have to turn one page. Luke 24, look at verse 46. Luke 24, 46. This is Jesus speaking. He is resurrected from the dead. He is giving some commands and precepts to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. And look what he says, Luke 24:46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, notice there is repentance, and remission of sins should be preached. How many are with us? What's the next three words? In his name among how many? All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice, it's the name Jesus Christ because there is no other name. Preach to all nations, all people groups, salvation, combining repentance and faith in his name, the name Jesus Christ. Not just God. I believe in God. Salvation through God. Through the name Jesus, Savior, in his name. Go to the last, second to last chapter in John, John chapter 20. You're flipping to your right, John chapter 20. We don't have time to look at every verse that talks about that name. It is a neat study if you want to do that. Look at every time it talks about the name, especially in the Gospels, the name of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Ask these things in his name. You're known by his name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 20. I've referenced this verse, I believe, the last two Sundays. John 20, 30 and 31. John 20, 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. They're not in the book of John. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, I suppose you could pull some of these verses out and just make your own little doctrine. Oh, it's just a name. I just say the name Jesus. I believe in Jesus. That's good enough. No, we compare Scripture with Scripture, but we can see that there's something about that name. Jesus. I don't ask you, do you believe in God? I don't say, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? We've talked about that. You say that name in your school, see what happens. You talk about that name at work, you see what happens. You stay casual and generic about God, you're going to be okay. You talk about the name Jesus, you pray in Jesus' name. You put something with Jesus' name on, oh my goodness, now you better watch it. Why? Because there's something about that name. The name Jesus. You look in the New Testament, when the demons would say about, I knew who you are, Jesus, the Holy One. Oh, I knew who you are, Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. We've looked at that before. The name Jesus. Now, go a little bit to your right. We're going to be in the book of Acts from here to the end. Just flip three or four pages. Don't miss this. I hope you have a Bible. I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're turning with me. Go to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. We're going to look at a story you may or may not know well. You may have read through Acts. It's probably not. You may know the miracle that takes place here, but I want you to hang with me. We're going to do a lot of reading here. We'll jump back and forth. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, verse 1, are going to go up together into the temple to pray. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we would say at the beginning of the church, Pentecost, 3,000 are saved at the end of chapter 2. Christ has already ascended to heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. The disciples, the apostles, are to go out and begin preaching and teaching the Word of God. They begin doing that. Here in chapter 3, we have a little story. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. So there is a lame man, a man who has never walked his entire life. He was born crippled and lame. He has no strength in his legs. You can go to later in the book and you'll see he was 40 years old. 40 years he has never walked. 40 years someone has had to carry him. 40 years he has never stood on his own, and he has to rely maybe either on crawling, some form of crutches, or someone carrying him to the gate so that he can beg for money, alms. So that's the context. Verse 2. Certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, money, charity from them that entered in the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Alms for the poor, alms for the blind. You've heard that. Alms, please, help. Can you help me out? He sees Peter and John walking in. He just asks them like he does everybody. Verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, gazing intensely right in him, eye to eye with that lame man, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Oh, good, I'm going to get something. I don't know if you know this little song, this little chorus. I learned it when I was a kid. We sing it a lot at home, little chorus, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Whoa, I don't have any money. In fact, if I give you money, it's going to be gone. You're going to need more money. Let me give you something that you don't have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This man was having a holy fit and he was not quiet about it. If you've never walked in 40 years, I mean, he is jumping around and he is shouting and he's running and he's leaping and he's acting like a kid. And I mean, it's drawing attention. It's drawing a lot of people. What's going on? What's going on? You say, well, look at it. Look at the next verse, verse 9. And all the people, because there's a lot of people there. It's an hour of prayer. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he. We know who he is. How's this possible? So a huge crowd gathers. What in the world? We got to hear what happened. A miracle has happened. Verse 10. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. And as the lame man, verse 11, which was healed. Notice, he's holding Peter and John. Maybe he's crying. Maybe he's holding on to them, thanking them and weeping. He's got a hold on them. All the people ran together. The people are running unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, Peter's a preacher. We got a crowd here. It's time to preach. And Peter begins to preach. Now, very few people are familiar with this message. He's got a massive crowd. God had given the apostles power at the beginning of the church to authenticate the message of the gospel, to authenticate that they were true apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was temporary, I believe, to establish the church and the early gospel there in the book of Acts. They heal this lame man. A humongous crowd gathers. Peter begins to preach. I want you to notice what he begins to preach, verse 12. Ye men of Israel, now he's preaching to Jews, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? A little bit different than a lot of faith healers today. We didn't have anything to do with it. Don't look at us as if we're special. It wasn't by our power. Verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son. And now he says the name, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now this is, again, this is just 40, 50, 60 days after the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. It's still on people's minds. Jesus. Verse 14, you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. You might think, he's alive. Whereof we are witnesses. Now notice verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him that hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. We'll stop right there for a moment. But did you see verse 16? And his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, Jesus, hath made this man strong. And he preaches more of the message. Verse 19, he calls on them to repent. Please understand, it's not just a belief in the name. Notice there's repentance with it. Repentance was preached in chapter 2, verse 38. Repentance is preached again, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Turn from your sins. Turn from your own way. Acknowledge that you've been trusting in your Jewish religion in the context. You're trusting in who you are. No, you need to repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in his name. And he preaches that message. Now, what's the reaction of that message? Chapter 4. There's a lot of people at the crowd, and guess who gets word? The religious leaders. What's going on? What's everybody doing? Where's everybody at? How come they're not praying? Verse 1, chapter 4. And as they speak unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Sadducees were a very liberal group. They believed, like a lot of people today, you live, you die, it's over. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So they're certainly grieved that they're preaching there's a resurrection, life after death, and they're preaching in the name of Jesus. So what do they do, verse 3? They laid hands on them, put them in hold, almost like a cell, until the next day, for it was now eventide. Oh, arrest those. Send everybody home. Put them. We've got to figure out what we're going to do with these guys. All right, keep going. We have a purpose to this, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word of God believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. 5,000. Whoa! Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that their rulers and elders and scribes, so they bring in the big guns. Let's go. We're going to intimidate these fellas. Let's bring them out, and we're going to have everybody there, and we're going to give it to them. We've got the scribes, the rulers, the elders. We're going to bring in Annas, the high priest. We're going to bring in Caiaphas. And now we're going to bring in a couple other guys who don't know who they are. John and Alexander, they must have been important. All right. And as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, this could have been the Sanhedrin, 70 men in a semicircle, they put you right there. And we're going to let them have it. We're going to scare them. They get them in verse 7. Now, please notice the question. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Now, you're out there preaching and teaching, and a miracle was claimed to have happened. By what authority do you have to do that, and by what name? Verse 8. Now, this is the same fellow that denied the Lord 3 times and said, I don't know him. I know not the man. I will even curse. And now, a lot different man, isn't he? As he is filled now with the Holy Spirit, and he's not coward anymore. Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now, this would be no different than if you were arrested or pulled aside at school or your work or a government, and they said, you can't pray in Jesus' name. You can't say that here. And they're trying to threaten you. What are you going to do? Sorry. Bring out the big one. Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, a man that has no strength in his legs, by what means he is made whole? Pay attention to the wording here. We're going to read about 4 verses. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. We do these things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This, verse 11, Jesus, is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. You rejected it. You tossed it to the side like that's a junky stone. The one the builders rejected, the headstone, no. Which has become the head of the corner. Now here's our key verse. Please circle it, highlight it. If you've never memorized it, you need to memorize it. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whoa. The name Jesus. The boldness of Peter and John. Speaking to religious leaders. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the one whom you crucified and killed, he is risen. He is God himself. He has ascended to heaven. And we do all these things in his name. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he said, there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Whoa, what a blow to the Jews who were trusting in their Old Testament and their law of Moses and the fact that they were the seed of Abraham, sons of David. Same thing Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again. Neither is there salvation, neither is there rescuing. There is no deliverance from your sins outside of the name of Jesus. Now, there's no wiggle room there, folks. None. That is not something that will be popular in today's society. People are not going to want to hear that. no salvation and deliverance from sin outside of the name of Jesus Christ. None. No other name under heaven. Now think of a lot of names under heaven. No other name. Not the name Mary. Not the name Muhammad. Not the name Buddha. Not Peter, not Paul, no saint. No religious leader. No king, prime minister, emperor. No other name. Under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's fast forward to the end of the story. Verse 13 is a message in itself. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They did not go to any of the rabbi's schools. They did not go to a seminary. These were just a bunch of fishermen. They saw it. They marveled and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They're walking Jesus's. They've got the boldness. They've got the authority. And so they have to decide, what are we going to do? They have a little private meeting. Send them back in, give them lunch. We got to meet. We weren't expecting this. They have a little meeting, verse 15. We got to figure out what we're going to do. What are we going to do? Verse 16. We can't deny a miracle's been done. Why? Because that guy's walking everywhere. What are we going to do? We got to do something. It's spreading, verse 17. We got to keep it from spreading among the people. I know what we'll do, verse 17. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this. They wouldn't even say the name. Better never speak anymore in that name. Well, you can do whatever you want, but if you say the name Jesus again, we're going to really let you have it. Can I say this? And I don't know what it's like. I've not worked in a secular field, and I've not gone to public school, and I am grateful for that. I've never had to face where I work. Where I work, I can say the name Jesus anytime I want. Every place I've ever worked out of college, I can do that freely. I've worked in Christian schools and churches, so we can say it all. I'm thankful for that. And we can preach in the name of Jesus, and we can talk about it in class, and we can pray. Amen. I'm glad of that. But I've not been in a situation where, like, ooh, I don't know if I start doing this at work. I'll tell you what will happen. They'll start to threaten you. I don't know if they have anything behind their threats. I don't know. You'd have to determine. You'd have to decide what God would have you do. They said, we're going to threaten them not to say that name again, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Now you can teach and preach other names, not the name Jesus. Don't do it. You're going to get trouble. Verse 19, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you can judge that. Judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Sorry. You'll see they ramp it up the next chapter too. They even beat him, throw him in prison. They get out miraculously. God lets him out. They say, don't you say that name again. You can keep reading. And they say, we're going to obey God rather than man. It's not the thrust of the message, but some of you may be in situations where you've got to decide if you're going to obey God or man. Are you going to obey God or man? It may come to a point where everybody in this room has to decide that one day. As far as practical living, are we going to obey God or man? What's going to happen? Whoa. Yea, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Why? You're going to suffer it over two reasons. The word of God and the name Jesus Christ. You know why? You know why it's so hated? Because there's only one way. The Bible says one way through Jesus, and Jesus says one way, and that is inclusive, and it's narrow, and it's straight, and we live in a world that doesn't like absolute truths, and that convicts them of their sin, and they don't want anybody telling them what to do because we're rebels. We want to be able to do what we want, the way we want to do it. We want to build our tower to heaven like the Babylonians did, Tower of Babel. We're going to be our own gods, and we'll get there the way we say it is. Don't you tell us it's through one person only. And yet that's what the Word of God says. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. What a name, Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. What does Romans 10:13 say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. shall be rescued. Now you combine that with Scripture, it's evident that we need to have faith and belief in Christ, who He is, what He is, God Himself. We have to believe there is no salvation in any other name. I've got to put all my faith and dependence on Him while I balance that with personal repentance. Turning from my sins, turning fully to Him, and acknowledging there is no other name. It's that way. Oh God, I call upon that name. Lord Jesus Christ, please save me from my sins. That's why Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Notice that. Not just God, the Lord Jesus. I'm going to confess the Lord Jesus. Then whosoever shall call upon that name shall be saved. I'll conclude with Philippians chapter 2. 5 through 11, you're welcome to turn, you don't have to. Philippians chapter 2, you may know where I'm going with this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. If I said, if you could, sometimes you ask people, hey, who's living today that you would love to meet? If you could only meet one person living, oh, some people think of Hollywood, actresses and actors. The people they see on TV, athletes, think of famous athletes and their famous sport, or maybe they've got posters, oh my goodness, if I could just see them. Or some of you might think of political figures, or you might think of, I don't know who, oh, if I could just see them, oh my word, get their autograph, shake their hand, spend some time with them, oh wow, wonderful. Whoever you think's important in this world, whoever you think's powerful, whoever you think is important, has authority, fame, or fortune, whoever in the history of mankind, the great rulers, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, the emperors, the great kings, the world leaders, the most famous, richest people of all time. What does the Bible say about that? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. That's the manger, the baby. The babe in the manger. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, please don't miss this. It's hard to read it without getting some shivers if you're a believer. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He's been given a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Alexander the Great will bow. Julius Caesar will bow. Warren Buffett, people that we think well control society and are rich will bow. Atheists will bow. Agnostics will bow. The poor, the rich, the famous will bow at the name of Jesus. Satan himself and his demons will bow at the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every angel in heaven will bow, every human will bow at the name of Jesus. Things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That doesn't mean that everybody that does that will be in heaven. You will receive him of your own free will, or you will acknowledge one day through his power that he is Lord, even as he casts you into the devil's hell. There is no other name. Boy, at this time of year, at Christmas, we love the lights, the presents, the trees. We love the songs, the snow. Nothing wrong, per se, I suppose, with all of that, as long as we're making sure who's getting the glory. So we make sure that we don't lose the wonder of it all. As we make sure that the world does not control the season, but that we do through the Scriptures. We think of all that happens at this Christmas time. We think of the greatest story ever told. God himself, in the form of a baby in flesh, came to earth among his own creation, walked and lived among them, so that we might be saved. The name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. I pray that we would rejoice in our salvation. If you're here today watching from home, I pray that right now you're thinking back to the day that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I hope right now your heart is rejoicing. As you think back, now it may have been years and years ago. It may be as fresh as your mind right now as it was 60 years ago. It may have been within the last year that you can remember. Folks, I'm serious about it. You can remember the occasion. You may not know the date. You may not remember the message. You may not remember the verse. You may not remember the preacher. But you remember the occasion when you were shown and convinced in your own heart that you were a sinner. You were a sinner on your way to hell. You could not rescue yourself in any way. You remember that. You remember the hopelessness. You remember the dread. You remember the fear, perhaps. And you remember how you heard the old, old story. Jesus Christ saves. He came to save His people from their sins. And that something flickered within you as the Holy Spirit quickened you, drew you to Himself, showed that you were a sinner and that you needed to put your faith and trust and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can remember when that occurred, where you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm taking that right out of the Bible. You come talk to me later if you disagree with that. If you think it's just some kind of little feeling or some time frame or you did something. I don't know that that's biblical. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's a specific time and place. You were there, God convicted you, you were drawn to Him, you saw you were a sinner, your way would not get you to heaven, you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you said, oh Lord, you save me, it's not in the prayer of the words you said, but you called upon that name, and you asked Him to save you from your sins, and you believed the Bible. The Bible says that if you did that, whosoever, that word means everybody, all, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. You receive everlasting life. In fact, the Bible says you get a new name written down in heaven. A new name. Have you done that? Can you walk out of here confident today? You are not trusting in anything else. No other name, no other action, no other deed. And that you are assured today, if you die today, you have all confidence you will be in heaven because you have put your faith and trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've turned from your sins and you believe with all your heart He's the only way. You're not trusting in anything else. If you've never done that, you can do that right now today in this service. Whether you've been grown up in church your whole life, whether you've heard messages on Christmas and the cross 5,000 times, that doesn't mean that you have personally put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today, the message has been pretty simple, I hope. I hope you understand the point of the invitation. I'm inviting you today during this invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one else is looking. It's between you and the Lord. An invitation means I'm inviting you to respond to the message that I just preached. I'm inviting you to respond with a decision, yes or no. I will receive the free gift of salvation by faith and turn from my own ways and my own sins. Or I will not receive it, or I have already made that decision in the past and I have received and accepted the free gift and my life has never been the same. If you're here today or you're watching perhaps from home, you're sitting at the kitchen table, you're sitting on a couch, you're holding your phone or a laptop, you're watching on the screen, has God spoken to you? Are you a child of God? Have you received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? Do you believe there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved? Have you put all of your faith and dependence on Christ and Christ alone, trusting nothing else for everlasting life? If you have done that and you have full confidence based on the Word of God, could you, without looking, just slip your hand up and say, Brother Boyer, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I have received the free gift of salvation. No doubt about it. Just slip your hand up right back down. Thank you. Amen. You may put those hands down. Perhaps you're here today and you can say, you know what, preacher, I do believe in being honest. I didn't raise my hand. Now, I realize sometimes an invitation, you get a little sleepy, you don't always pay attention. You may have not raised your hand, not because you're not saved, you just were sort of daydreaming. But if you're here today and you're paying attention, you say, I didn't raise my hand because I couldn't. I don't know that I've ever done that. I don't know that I can ever think back to a time where I was convicted of my sin. I saw myself, as the Bible says, a sinner who was lost, incapable of overcoming my own sin nature and getting to heaven. I might think I'm a good guy, good girl, pretty religious, but I've seen today that I'm not. I'm a sinner, and I'm condemned, and there's no other way to heaven through Jesus Christ, and I would like today to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior so that He can take away my sins and I can receive forgiveness and receive eternal life. If that's you today, no one else is looking but me, would you slip your hand up so I can see that, Brother Boyer? I want to receive Christ this morning. I do. I want to receive eternal life at this Christmas season. In just a second, Shane's going to come with a stanza or two of an invitation that he's chosen. If you're here today and you need to receive Christ, perhaps you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You might have great fear right now. Your stomach may be tightening up. Oh my goodness, it's the moment of decision. There's going to be a battle. We looked at that the last two Sundays. God's plan is for you to be redeemed through Christ. The devil's plan is for you to ignore it, to believe you can find it another time, another way. Put it off till next week. Do it when you're not here. God has a plan. Satan has a plan. What will you respond to? If during the invitation you'd like to be saved, you could slip out. You could come to the front. I'll be here in the front. You could slip to the back. We'll have some our deacons in the back to help you. No one will embarrass you. We'll take you to a private room and pray with you. Answer any questions. No one's going to force you. You must choose. Perhaps you're here today and you are saved, but God has convicted you of being ashamed of the name Jesus, not standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, not even saying His name for fear of man, not being a bold witness, not defending the faith. I don't know what God may have spoken to you about, but if God speaks to you, would you come to the altar? Would you slip there on your knees by the pew? If we'd like someone to pray with you and encourage you, I'll be here at the front. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can remain seated as Shane comes during this invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed between you and the Lord. Do you have perfect peace? Is there a battle?
He is life. He is life.
The free gift of salvation is being held out.
He has vanquished
death. Will you receive it?
And hell, for He is life.
Will you accept it in faith?
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is.
One final stanza, and this will be it. One final stanza. Will you move if God works?
He is all, all in all. All the power in heaven is His, for He is.
Will you make a decision to be bold for the name of Christ this Christmas season?
Every
to share it with friends and co-workers and neighbors?
Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is all.
Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray I've done as you commanded me today, Lord. Preach the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name. There is no other way. Lord, I'm so thankful that most in this room raised their hand, giving assurance that yes, there was a time where they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, may we not be ashamed of that name. There is no sweeter name than the name Jesus. Oh Lord, we know that in this day in society, there's many who threaten, don't say that name, don't preach in that name, don't pray in that name, don't bring the Bible around. But Lord, we've got to make a decision. We've got to decide where we're going to stand. Lord, you were not ashamed of us. You were not ashamed to get on that cross publicly and die for our sins, despite the mocking and the threats and the vile and the spit and all that was done. Thank Lord that you were not ashamed. May we not be ashamed of you as believers. May we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we stand for the absolute truths of the Word of God. May we stand on the inspiration and infallibility of the Word of God. Lord, may we be bold. May we in love share the old story this Christmas season. And may we see friends and family and neighbors come to put their faith and trust in the name Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.